Not putting myself first, I will share in the joy and sadness of others, just like the compassionate Buddha. 自分だけを大切にすることなく、人と喜びや悲しみを分かち合います。慈悲に満ち満ちた仏様のように。ナマンダブ、ナマンダブ、ナマンダブ。Very good. I hope you've all had a nice week. I hope it's been a good week for you. I feel like it's the seasons have really changed now. When we started this shelter in place, it was very rainy and quite cool. And this past week, I feel like it really warmed up. We had a couple days where it was even hot and kind of hot. And I found myself, you know, digging out my shorts and really trying to stay cool for the first time in a while. And I was reminded that although our life, in a sense, kind of feels like it's been standing still as we've been staying home, trying to stay safe, keep everyone safe, continuing this shelter-in-place activities. And yet, the flow of the seasons continues on. Spring comes, summer's, you know, on its way. A couple of days ago, it did kind of feel like summer here in San Mateo. And so we see that this flow of life is carrying on for us. You know, as I think about this, I think about that the flow of nature is continuing, and yet the rhythms of our daily life, our culture, have been kind of disrupted. Particularly, excuse me, myself thinking about that for this coming week, you know, on May 5th, we have an important Japanese cultural celebration that we've often done things with here at the temple. Does anyone know what that is? What happens on May 5th? Right? It's Children's Day, right? Children's Day, or used to be called Boys' Day, but now we include boys and girls and celebrate Children's Day. It's the time when we fly carps and do all of those things. And so, you know, maybe that's something you can think about that you might be able to do at home with your own, you know, activities, and something you can do around your house to maintain this flow of seasonal traditions. As I think about this, this coming of the Children's Day, and also this sense of we're trying to share in the joy, but also this week kind of talking about sharing in the sadness of others and what that means, I'm reminded of a story from one of the great people of the Nembutsu, who lived a little over 100 years ago in a place in Japan. And this, she lived on an island. Her name was Okaru. And Okaru lived on this island. And this island was ruled by a local kind of a feudal lord, a daimyo. And he was kind of the boss of that island. He was very strict. He was very strict. And he was particularly concerned about preserving all of the shellfish and the shellfish population around the island. And so he had a rule that there was only one day of the year on Children's Day, May 5th, when people could go out and harvest shellfish and bring those home and have a feast of these little clams that would that lived in off the coast there, in the shore, off the beaches. And so this one day a year, May 5th, people would all go down to the beach. It was a big party, and everybody would be kind of at a mark, get set, go, and everybody would run out and gather as many shellfish as they could. And so Okaru, she also lived in this village, and she was famous for being a person who was very devout, very dedicated to the Nembutsu. She always said, Namman Dabutsu, Namman Dabutsu, Namman Dabutsu. And as she said the Nembutsu, she was very grateful and always thinking of the Buddha. Now, she was so much dedicated to the Nembutsu practice, so concerned with the Buddha's Pure Land, with the Buddha's teaching, that she wasn't so concerned about the things of this world, like wearing nice fancy clothes or maybe making her hair look really nice and beautiful. And so sometimes, you know, her clothes were a little bit messy, maybe a little bit untucked, and, you know, her hair maybe would be a little bit wild sometimes, because she wasn't concerned about this world and how she looked and how she appeared. She was only concerned about living in the Nembutsu. And so people thought she was a little bit strange. Think about she's, you know, dresses a little bit different than other people. Maybe her hair is a little bit wild sometimes. And she's always saying, Namman Dabutsu, Namman Dabutsu. She's walking back and forth to the local temple, walking around the village. People thought, wow, she's a really devout Buddhist. She's also kind of strange. And so people would kind of, you know, they would whisper about her and kind of make fun of her behind her back. But in her heart, she was totally at peace. Right? And so on this day of the festival, just as everybody gathered down at the beach, she also gathered down at the beach. And people were surprised because when they said, on your mark, get set, go. She was the fastest one to run out and jump in the water. So digging up as many shellfish as she could. She was digging them and digging them and piling them into her buckets. And she went back and forth and she filled several baskets with shellfish on the beach. And people who saw her going through the village every day, saying Namman Dabutsu, Namman Dabutsu, saw her going to the temple, listening to the Buddha Dharma very intently, very regularly. Every time there was a service at the temple, she always went. And they thought, wait a second, if she's such a good Buddhist, if she's so devout, what is she doing greedily, gathering up all these shellfish, taking so many shellfish? I don't know if she's going to leave any for anyone else. What's more, I thought good Buddhists weren't supposed to take the lives of other animals. I thought good Buddhists were supposed to be vegetarian, not be so greedy about taking the lives of others. Doesn't she know that each shellfish is a living creature? Wow, I wonder if she really is a good Buddhist or if she's just putting on a show to try to make people think she's good. So people kind of snickered and laughed at her. And then later that evening, everybody went back to their house and they had a big celebration. Big party, and they had a big feast. And you know what they had for dinner? Shellfish. Lots and lots of these delicious clams. They made clam miso soup. They grilled them. They had them with rice. And so they were enjoying lots and lots of clams. And out in front of every house, there's a big pile of clam shells. Because they would eat the clams, and then they would throw the shells out in the front yard, right? And they'd have a big pile of them that they would clean up the next day. And so there was one house that didn't have any clamshells piled up. You know whose house that was? It was Okaru's house. People thought, that's weird. She should have a big pile of clamshells in front of her house. She gathered up so many so greedily. I know. I bet she's so crazy that she doesn't even know you have to open them up. I bet she's just eating those clams, shells and all, crunch, crunch, crunch. I bet she's breaking her teeth. And so they're whispering, kind of laughing at Okaru. Oh, she's so weird, right? And later that evening, one of the other villagers was down to the seaside because he had taken so many shells. He had gathered so many shells that the family wasn't able to eat them all. And so in order to keep them fresh for the next day, he had to get fresh water for them. So he went down to the beach to gather up a pot of fresh water. And as he was walking down to the beach, it was very dark. There was just the light of a few stars. It's a little bit overcast. It wasn't very bright. It was hard to see, but he could see there was somebody down by the water, kind of hunched over. And he was wondering, I wonder what they're doing. So he very quietly approached, very curious. And he heard this person was muttering something, was saying something very quietly, as if they were talking to the ocean. And then as he got closer, he said, hey, that's Okaru. What's she saying? He got a little bit closer and he could hear what she was saying. She was saying, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It must have scared you so much when I took you away from your home, when I gathered you up and I took you out of your home. You must have been so frightened. I gathered up as many of you as I could. Gathered up as many of you as could before the other people got you. I'm only sorry that I couldn't save more of your relatives. Right? Now I want you to return to your home. Go home, little shellfish. Go home. And she was very gently putting the shellfish back into the water. And as she was doing it, she was saying, Namman Dabutsu, Namman Dabutsu, Namman Dabutsu, Namman Dabutsu. So think about the way that Okaru lived her life, right? She wasn't concerned about what others thought. She lived with her life dedicated. Her life was always focused on the Buddha, the Buddha's teaching, the pure land of Amida Buddha. So on the one hand, she didn't try to make a show of being a good person. She didn't, you know, try to make herself look good, look fancy, but she also didn't show off how devout she was. She was very modest in this way. But her first concern was sharing in the joy, but also sharing in the sadness of others, because she thought, even for shellfish, that this must be very scary, that they must be having a hard time. And so she, with that heart of sharing in their feeling of sadness, of their concern, she reached out and she gathered as many of them up, trying to save them, and trying to help them in her simple way. And as she did it, as she was putting them back in the water, she didn't think to herself, wow, I did a really good job here. Her first thought was, I'm only sorry I couldn't save more. She realized there are limitations to how much she could do. Right? So to me, this is really the heart of a person who lives in the Nembutsu, who realizes the Buddha wishes for our peace of mind, and so he provides us with this teaching of Namo Amida Butsu that we can carry with us wherever we go. When we hear these words, Namo Amida Butsu, we hear the wisdom of the Buddha, and we turn our mind to think about how we are embraced, but also how every living being is embraced by the Buddha's compassion, how we can care for everybody and all beings. And so I think that this is really a meaningful teaching for us at this time. Here in the San Francisco Bay Area, where many of us live, you know, I live here in San Mateo, and we've been very fortunate in a sense that the coronavirus outbreak hasn't been worse. We were one of the first areas to have people get diagnosed with COVID-19. We were one of the first areas where people were giving each other COVID-19 here in our community, where it was spreading in the community. It could have been much worse, I think. But thanks to everyone cooperating and doing this shelter in place, we've done what they say, flatten the curve. We've managed to flatten the curve up to this point here in our community, which means that we haven't overwhelmed our hospitals with so many patients that they were not able to give everyone the treatment they needed. And so we can take some peace of mind, in a sense, in knowing that this COVID-19 hasn't spread all over the community in the way that it might have, and that many of us have been able to stay healthy thanks to these measures. Also, at this time, you know, we live right near the 101 freeway, and my wife and I have noticed that the air has gotten a lot better lately. There used to be, we could smell the exhaust from all the cars, especially in the morning and evening rush hour. These days, we go for walks. We walk right by the freeway, 5, 6 p.m., and the air is nice and clear, as if we were out at the beach or, you know, out at a park or something. And so the air quality has improved in this time. And so these things are cause for us to feel some happiness and some peace of mind. At the same time, when we remember Okaru, we also should turn our minds and reflect about what is the other side of this. Just as there was this joyful festival of everybody gathering up shellfish, there was also the impact, right, on the lives of all of those shellfish who lived in the ocean. So as we think about what we've done, these measures we've taken, we can also think about what has been the other impact of that. The fact that people haven't been spreading COVID-19 as much in our community is the result of everyone staying home. That means lots of people haven't been able to go to work. And for many people, if they don't go to work, they don't get paid, right? And for some people, their jobs, they were let go from their jobs. They weren't able to continue their jobs because there's no work to be done. For many people who don't work for a big company, who just work for themselves, it's been a very difficult time. And so as we take comfort in this, we say flattening the curve of not having so many infections in our community as we may have, we must also remember all the people who are having challenges and great difficulties at this time because they're not able to go to work and their businesses are suffering and they're probably very worried about how they're going to pay their bills and pay their mortgages and all of these things. So it's a time for us to, while we take comfort and appreciation for the lives that have been saved, we also always remember those who face difficulty, right? And so this way of living in the Nembutsu, this teaching of sharing in the joy and the sadness of others, provides a guide for us to live at this time. And this guide, this is the way of living in the Nembutsu that we call the Bodhisattva path, the heart of one who truly aspires to live guided by the Buddha's teachings, is a heart of sharing in the joy and the sadness of others, and wishing first and foremost that all beings could realize the peace of mind that we find here in the Nembutsu. And so I'd like to conclude my talk with sharing one other poem by someone of the Nembutsu. And this is a beautiful poem. It reminds us of the connections we share with one another. This is a poem by a poet by the name of Misuzu Kaneko. Misuzu Kaneko. And it's called Are You an Echo? And it's in this, there's a book here called Are You an Echo? That's been published, and it's a translation into English of her poetry. I recommend this book. It's a wonderful wonderful source of joy and wisdom. And Misuzu Kaneko, she also lived through some difficult times. So as we're kind of sheltering in place and thinking about the joy and sadness of others, there are some beautiful poems in this book that we can share and remember. So this poem I'll read is the title poem from this book. And it's I'll read it first in English, followed by the Japanese translation. I know that many of you are able to understand some Japanese. The language is very simple and understandable, such that even children, I think, can really appreciate this poem. So we'll conclude with this poem, Are You an Echo? If I say, let's play. You say, let's play. If I say, stupid, you say, stupid. If I say, I don't want to play anymore, you say, I don't want to play anymore. Then, after a while, becoming lonely, I say, sorry. You say, sorry. Are you an echo? Are you just an echo? No. You are everyone. Asobo te yu to, baka te yu, mou asobanai to yu to, asobanai te yu. Soshite ato de, samishiku natte, ごめんねと言ってと、ごめんねっていう。 こだまでしょうか? いいえ、誰も。 Hope you all stay well and peace of mind. Again, if there's anything we can do here at the San Mateo Buddhist Temple to be of support in this difficult time, don't hesitate to reach out to us at any time. Please join me in Gassho. Gassho onegai shimasu. Not putting myself first, I will share in the joy and sadness of others, just like the compassionate Buddha. Jibun dake wo 大事にすることなく、人と喜びや悲しみを分かち合います。慈悲に満ち満ちた仏様のように。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。南無阿弥陀仏。